night. It'll also be tonight and then next Sunday night. It's kind of lengthy. So we'll get out, it's 2 points, but 1 point tonight has 4 sub-points, and then we'll look at the rest of it next week. Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to follow along with me in your Bibles. I'll begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Again, verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed." Continuing the series on faith, going verse by verse through Hebrews 11 here and looking at and learning from these individuals, I want to talk to you tonight, begin talking to you tonight on this thought, the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. And we're going to learn about that here from Abraham. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask Father to speak to hearts tonight. Lord, it's, Father, just been a sweet service. Lord, just singing, the opportunity to praise you, Lord, and to hear in this auditorium, Lord, just the loudness, Father, and the volume of people praising you. Lord, to hear the testimonies of just how good you are, Lord, and how you're working in lives. Father, now as we come to the preaching, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, it wouldn't be a time slot fulfillment. Lord, it wouldn't be just wasted time. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would pay attention. Lord, I pray that we would get something from this message, Lord, to help each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for how these messages, Lord, have challenged me in the area of faith. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that the truths found in the Word of God will challenge all of us, Father, in this area, Lord, in this Bible doctrine of faith. We ask you, Lord, again, just to speak to hearts tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we're learning throughout this series, it is impossible to please God without a true and pure display of faith in your everyday living. It says it, the same chapter in verse number 6, it says it very plainly, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What does it mean to please God? Somebody wants to ask you, how would you define, or what does it mean to please God? In other words, what makes God happiest in our lives? If we were to look at our own lives and say, what makes God the happiest to me, how would you answer that, Celeste?
That we are obedient to Him and want to be in, not make it a chore, but just coming from our heart to prove our love to Him, show Him that we love Him.
Good answer. Anyone else? Mom? Good. Anyone else? Austin?
Helping different people.
Okay. Anyone else? Vic?
We're to be the peacemakers of this world. You notice this world is on fire with all kinds of wars and rumors of wars forever.
Amen. Being peacemakers. Anyone else? We all have, again, answers, and none of them are wrong, but if we're going to narrow it down to one, I truly believe that what brings God the most joy is when we exercise the simplest faith just to obey Him without question. I think He gets extreme joy out of us just obeying Him, simple faith, without question. Any parent here would attest to that with your children. What pleases you about your children? To see them just obey with a happy heart, pure joy, and just not questioning. Neil Martin, remember that name, Neil Martin, was a member of the British Parliament He was once giving a group of his constituents a guided tour of the House of Parliament. During the course of the visit, the group happened to meet one of the lords there. His name was Lord Hailsham, at that time the Lord Chancellor, and he just happened to be wearing all the regalia of his office. I mean, he was just decked out. I mean, he was just suited up to the T. And you can see that he was a man of authority and position by what he was wearing. And so Neil Martin was bringing this group through, and Lord Hailsham recognized Neil Martin. And so when he saw that group, Lord Hailsham yelled out, he said, "Neil!" And just not even daring to question or disobey the command, the entire group of visitors promptly fell to one knee. He was just yelling out the guy's name. But because of his authority, because of who he was, they didn't even question. I mean, they were visitors. They were just going on a tour. They all dropped to one knee. That's the same response. Matter of fact, keeping your spot here in Hebrews, go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. It's the same response that Abraham had to the commands of God. God chose Abraham for a special purpose. He'd be the father of a nation. So God called Abraham to leave his home and to follow the Lord by faith. In Genesis 12, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And by the way, that promise is still to Israel to this day.
Amen.
That's why it's important that we support Israel. Abraham received many great blessings for following God's commands and for trusting God. Today, you and I have got to learn what it means to trust God and walk in His Word by faith. The core element of your Christianity is your faith in God's Word. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines obedience as this: compliance with a command, prohibition or known law and rule of duty prescribed, the performance of what is required or enjoined by authority, or the abstaining from that which is prohibited in compliance with the command or prohibition. Obedience may be voluntary or involuntary. Voluntary obedience alone can be acceptable to God. And true faith in God is going to cause you, lead you to obey the Bible voluntarily. I want to do what God says, not because I'm forced to do it, but because I want to do it.
Amen.
I volunteer to serve God. I volunteer to honor God, not forced to do it. Meaning that you want to obey, you desire to obey, and you willingly surrender your life to obey God. It's not twisting up an arm. It's not something I have to do to get to heaven. You know, we talk about living for God and pleasing God, and you know, people want to justify living wrongly by saying, "Well, God still loves me." We're not questioning God's love to us, we're questioning our love to God. A lot of times we get that backwards. And a true faith in God will lead you to obey the Bible and God's word voluntarily. Now, if you say that you believe in God, and if you say that you believe His word, and if you say that you believe in Christ, then let me ask you a question. Do you obey His commands? It's one thing to say we love Him. It's another thing to say we believe His word and believe He is the Lord. But do we obey Him? Do you follow His direction? Do you follow His command with obedience? Living by faith, a true faith, an authentic faith, will always lead us to obey God's word. So we want to, tonight, want to understand obedience. We want to examine the life of obedience as lived out, again, through faith by Abraham. Go back to our text, if you will, from Hebrews. We're going to look, again, I'll give you one main point, then three or four sub-points. Let me say this about the obedience of faith. Obedience is the pathway to blessing. That's it. Obedience is the pathway to blessing. I've said it so many times, God has a zero track record of blessing disobedience. Obedience is the pathway to blessing. Our choices always lead us down a path and toward a destination. Every choice you make is taking you somewhere. Every choice you make will lead you to a destination. And by and large, the decisions that we make are determined by our attitude towards God's Word. If we want to be obedient to God's Word, then our choices will lead us down one pathway. If we want to be disobedient to God's Word, we don't agree with what the Bible says, then our choices are going to lead us down a different pathway. I read a quote that stated this. It said, "Obedience is smart, disobedience is stupid." That's a great quote. I mean, that's like one of the best quotes you'll ever hear. Obedience is smart, disobedience is stupid. So when your children don't obey, you can say, "Obedience is smart, disobedience is stupid." Why? You know, oftentimes as Tara and I are talking, Tara hardly got any spankings. I mean, she talks about it, and she said, "I saw how much pain it caused my older three siblings, and I thought, you know what? I'm just not going to do what they did." Obedience is smart. Disobedience is stupid. Doing right always reaps the reward of safety and security in God, while doing wrong always reaps danger and guilt. God desires to reward us with blessings. He wants to. God's not a stingy ogre in heaven thinking he's going to run out of blessings if people start asking for them. We've got to, though. If we want God's blessings, we've got to first put ourselves in the place of blessing through obedience. Oftentimes, most of the time, if not all of the time, there may be an occasion where I didn't do it, but usually, I'm going to sneeze. Speaking of blessings, when I take any of my kids out, if I just got to run errands and they want to go with me, usually, and it's never planned ahead of time, it just kind of goes that way, whenever they go out with me, they end up getting something. They end up getting a treat. They end up getting a bag of candy. They end up, you know, Austin will come to work with me. Austin worked with me all last night. He didn't climb in bed till 5 o'clock this morning. And he's a trooper. Hadn't slept yet until I said, "Turn on your Bible." He's been out ever since. But he, you know, he loves Mountain Dew. And so we got him a Mountain Dew. And when I drive out to Hamburg, we go into the Walmart there and buy a big old bag of Circus Peanuts. Circus Peanuts are awesome. They're just so good. And we'll buy that, and then we'll buy like a big 5-pound bag of Swedish fish. And we will have a sugar high till about 4 in the morning. It keeps him working faster. Otherwise, he crashes in the booth. All of my kids are candy junkies. My wife will get candy sometimes at CVS, and she'll put it downstairs in his pantry. And my kids think they're sly. If they don't bring it upstairs, no one will see it. But oftentimes, I'll go down into the pantry to get something, and there'll be 4 empty boxes of candy with all the wrappers on the shelf. Oh, there's blessing. But listen, how many here want God to bless your life? Raise your hand. You want God's blessing. Okay, that's an understanding. I mean, that's an understanding. We want God's blessing. But here's the thing. Are we willing to put ourselves in the place where God can bless us? Good. See, the problem is not God's blessing. The problem is our obedience.
Amen.
Our obedience reaps God's blessings. Not just, "Well, I'm saved, so God's just going to bless me." And we're so, and I'm not saying things, I'm not trying to make these sound negative. You know, we so often talk about, you know, roof over our head and food on our table and shoes on our feet and, you know, the unsaved have that. People who hate God have that. You and I, we're to be exceedingly abundantly above all things. I mean, the blessings that God ought to bestow upon us, the world ought to look at and say, "How's that? How do you explain that?" And I'm not talking about possessions. I'm talking about peace. You don't think this world, by and large, wants to understand what real peace really is?
Good.
I mean, peace to them is all their bills paid and having their favorite car in the world and their 20,000 square foot house and yada, yada, yada. That's going to bring them peace. That's going to bring them happiness. And if it's not that, they are miserable. You know, as God's children, you ought to go to work tomorrow joyful because you're a Christian. That doesn't mean you're going to love every minute of your job, but it's just everybody there. You know, I despise the idea of hating Mondays. Mm-hmm. Everybody talks about TGIF. I'd love to, like, put into practice TGIM. Mm-hmm. Thank God it's Monday. Why am I going to waste 1/7 of my life complaining about a particular day? And by the way, can I just say, that's sinful. That's almost as sinful as listening to doo-wop music. Yep, just lost. What'd you call that? The geriatric session? Section?
That's from there back.
Your mom and I, we're out of here. We're not listening anymore. You should have, like, the one that worked happy on Monday.
So now we see where the sin is in our camp.
You just keep preaching, we're going to start heading up towards the altar.
My fear is you'll be doo-wopping your way up to the music, up to the altar. That's funny. There's four key steps to walking the pathway of God's blessing that I want to give you tonight. Four key steps to walking the pathway of God's blessing. You know, in other words, I want to give you four keys for you to be in the place where God can bless you. Number one, a committed faith. A committed faith. Verse number 8 there, the first three words. By faith, Abraham. Again, remember, obedience is the expression of a faith that is already in place. I'm obeying because I have faith. I don't have faith because I obey. I obey because I have faith. It's the expression of our trust in God. I believe God. I have faith in God. Therefore, I'm going to obey. Notice throughout this chapter, as I'm sure you've read Hebrews 11 many times, seen it many times, each great deed and life is introduced by the words, by faith. We saw it in verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. I mean, all the way down. By faith, by faith, by faith. What does that mean? It means their faith was first placed in God before they followed God. Catch that. Their faith was in God before they followed God. Most of us live a life where we say, God, you show me what the blessings are and tell me what I'm going to get and guarantee it, and then I'll follow. But if I'm reading this correctly, that's not what happened here. We see a committed faith. Abraham was committed. He made his decision by faith. He just followed God. His faith came first. God is calling you today to place your faith in Him. You want God to bless you? How's your faith? How's your faith? You build on that. Secondly, we see a clear command. Again, verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out. When he was called to go out. A clear command. God came to Abraham and God gave him a very clear command. We read it in Genesis 12. God called him out of his land, away from his family, and said, this is where I want you to go. God didn't stutter. God wasn't playing hide and seek with him. It wasn't a word puzzle. It wasn't a Sudoku. It wasn't a cryptoquote. It wasn't any of those things. God said, you don't even know what that is, do you?
No.
It's a Japanese shot. You drink it real quick and go, Sudoku! And then you win. I figured you would know that. He's completely, he has no idea. He's still stuck on geriatrics. Somebody's got to give him the definition of what geriatrics is after the service. I don't think he understands it. God wasn't confusing here. God wasn't trying to throw him off. God told him, Here's are my desire. These are my desires for your life. Obey. Just do what you're told. Now God's going to continually bring to light His commands in your life so that you'll obey them. God spoke to Abraham, but God also speaks to us through His Word. Here's God telling you the same way God told Abraham. And your faith is going to determine your obedience. Those who have a very weak faith, you're not going to obey. You're going to continue just to live a self-made and selfish life and say that you're a Christ follower. I despise these new relevant catchy terms. That's the new thing now. Be a Christ follower. You're not a Christ follower if you're not a soul winner.
Amen.
Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So a whole lot of people claim to be Christ followers that ain't sharing the gospel with anybody. False advertising. They're lying. How about just calling yourself a Christian? We coined these new terms. That the new term now is missional. All these relevant church growth gurus talk about being missional. I'm thinking, how about just pastor your church and save the corny terms for somewhere else? They have terms. I was teasing one of my a guy that I actually went to Bible college with, who, when I was in Bible college, his church was a rock-ribbed fundamental church. My wife and I actually went to their church. They ran about 800 down in Florida. And he asked me to preach to his teenagers there while we were down there. And, I mean, just rock solid. And that was 98, so here we are 15 years later. He's no longer at his dad's church. His dad's become an Assembly of God church. And he went and started a church that, I mean, you might as well go to a Metallica concert. I mean, out of control. I mean, just anything goes. He actually put up a baptizing video. They baptized in the ocean. They're right there under the Gulf of Mexico. And in walks this pregnant woman in a bikini to get baptized. And I'm like, oh, Lord, in the world, tell your people to put clothes on before you baptize them. Just anything goes. I mean, just anything goes. But I had made the comment, there's another new term called a care pastor. Anyone ever hear of that term, a care pastor? A lot of these churches now have care pastors, and as soon as I hear that, I think of Care Bears, and I don't know why, but I think of Care Bears, these feminine, fluffy-looking guys that, you know, or whatever, but they have all these life coaches. You don't hear of that term, life coaches? People have life coach. Pastors call themselves life coaches, and I'm your life coach, and I'm thinking, what in the world is a, whatever happened to just a pastor? They have all these new terms. And God wants us. God wants to bless us. And He's going to tell us what He wants us to do, so we'll obey Him. He has a desire, He has a clear desire and a purpose for your life. Read the Bible. There's all kinds of commands in there from God. We tend to get 10 commandments. No, there's over 1,000 commands in Scripture that God wants us to obey. How about love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, heart, and might? That's a command. How are we doing on that one? That's what God wants us to do. Are we obeying? Love your neighbor as yourself. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Win souls to Christ. Avoid evil. Do good to all men. Be faithful to church. Learn more about God. Learn less about the world. The Bible says be simple concerning evil.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many commands in Scripture. Don't worry. Be happy. That's a good song. It's not a verse. No, there is a verse that says, be careful for nothing. There are so many commands in Scripture. And if we would start being obedient to them, we'll find out where our faith is. So you ask yourself the question, what will you do with God's commands? The answer to that question is, I believe it'll be in direct proportion to what you first do with your faith. How's your faith? How strong is your trust in God and His Word? A lack of trust in God and His Word will cause you to not obey. It's, you ever, I think of Brother West, his car salesman. I was going to say something mean, but I didn't. Brother West is a car salesman. Now, there are good car salesmen. No, that's a lie. No, I'm kidding. There are good car salesmen, and then there are bad car salesmen. There are guys who it's their living, and, you know, they want to provide you a nice vehicle and take care of it. And then there are guys that just want to rip you off. I think of Janice, who used to go to our church. And she got ripped off by a car dealership. I mean, they just raked her over the coals. You remember that, Brother Wes?
It was sad.
I mean, they totally took advantage of her financially. And so so if I'm going to go purchase a car, I'm going to find out a little bit about what's going on. I want to know about the person. I want to know about, you know, I'm careful. We do that, you know, when we buy things, when we purchase things. My wife is the queen researcher of everything. I mean, she's got the consumer's best and this, that, and you know, don't just go in and buy that. Let's research it first and read the reviews and all that other kind of stuff. That's so exhausting. Just buy it. If we don't like it, we'll take it back. It doesn't matter. But people get into things. You know, there are some people that you may know that, yeah, they're nice people, but you just don't trust them. They say, trust you as far as I can throw you. You just don't trust them. And there are some folks, you know what? Man, it comes out of their mouth, I'm for it. I'm behind it. Your obedience to God's word will be in direct proportion to how much faith you have in God. People who struggle in obeying God also don't have a very strong faith. The stronger our faith, the more obedient we'll want to be. I'll give you another example. If I was to stand rowing on top of this banister, and I was to back up and say jump, she would do it. She'd jump to my arms, but she knows I'm going to catch her. Now, if I told John Rossi to stand on this banister, the banister would be no more. No, if I told John to stand on the banister and jump and I'll catch you, you know what John's going to say? No. Or yes, just close your eyes. Understand our faith. We need to have a developing faith. We need to have a strong faith in order for us to become more obedient. Those of you that have been through periods of your life where your faith was tested and challenged, and you've grown from that experience, you learn to obey God to a greater degree. The more you do that, the more your faith increases, the more obedient you become. We want to get to the point again where it's not by sight. We want to kind of be like Abraham, where it's God said it, that settles it. That's the kind of faith Abraham said. God said go. Abraham said, here I go. I'm going. We aren't that way by and large today. We want to know more about things, and how do you know, and what about, and well, what? That's not faith. If you've got to see the whole equation, that's not very much faith. That's walking by sight. There's a third key here, and that is a contingent promise. A contingent promise. Look there in verse number 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. You know, obedience to God always leads us to a place of great promise. God was leading Abraham to a land prepared for him and his future family, which was Israel. And all Abraham had to do in order to receive the promise from God was obey. What would have happened if Abraham decided not to obey? What if God said, Abraham, I want you to pack up and I want you to leave your family and your kindred and I want you to go out over here to the place that I have for you and, you know, you just need to go. What if Abraham said, you know, come on, God. I mean, I'm kind of comfortable here. Man, doing that, it's just going to cramp my life. What if Abraham says something like, now, God, you know I just built a new home here. And I surely can't go. God, I just started this job. What are you trying to do to my life? Ruin it? Abraham didn't do any of that. We often miss many great things in our life because we fail to obey. Reminded of that story about John R. Rice, that he would have this recurring dream and it bothered him. And he shared it and just explained how God took him on a tour of heaven, And as they saw everything there was to see in heaven, he noticed there was this huge, monstrous warehouse barn that God didn't take him to. And he told the Lord, he said, Lord, what's that? What's that big, huge, the biggest building here? What is that? And God said, well, come here, I'll show you. And took him in, opened up the doors, and it was just packed with blessings. And John Rice said, God, what is all this? And God told him, these are all the blessings that my children never claimed. I mean, imagine what God has in store for us if we would learn to live by faith. Somebody said, instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from grace. God's grace has prepared wonderful and amazing treasures and blessings for the believing and the obeying. Aren't you glad you, by faith, chose to get saved and do what the Word of God said?
Amen.
You did that by faith. To this day, for many, it's hard to understand what all happened and took place in salvation. Some things we may not understand until we get to heaven. But I tell you what, just for the fact that I'm not going to hell, that's good enough for me.
Amen.
And my sins forgiven, and now I have an advocate with the Father. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And then he goes on to say in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. We love to talk about how much we love God, but we don't love talking about how disobedient we are to following what the Word of God says. God says, you know what? Here's the bottom line. If you love me, you're going to follow my Word. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm not talking about not making bad choices. I'm talking about a mindset that is, Lord, I want to please you and I want to obey you. And I may fall and I may make mistakes, but God, that is my desire. That is what I'm doing and getting better. How much do you love God right now? Well, you know, I love him on Sundays and every other Thursday night. I love him on occasion. I love God, I just don't love him when I'm on Facebook. I love God, but not when I'm with my friends. I love God, but not when I'm with my boyfriend or my girlfriend. I love God, but as Mrs. Lees and Mrs. Mathis and Mr. Ziegler said, just not when I'm at work. Just not on Mondays when I'm at work. I love Jesus outside of work, 5 other days of the week, and on Sundays. I'm teasing. If you love God, then it's an all the time, everyday thing.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And that means that I want to obey God at church. I want to obey God at home. I want to obey God at work. I want to obey God when I'm alone. I want to obey God when I'm with my friends. I want to obey God when I'm with my boyfriend or my girlfriend. I want to obey God when I'm with my husband or my wife. I want to obey God with the music I listen to. I want to obey God with the TV shows that I watch. I want to obey God in everything. I want to obey God with the words that I speak. Why? Because I love God. And God has great blessings. But I've got to make sure that I'm in the place where God can bless me. Let me ask you a question tonight. What obligation does God have to bless in your life? In Luke chapter 6 and verse 44, it says, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And then he says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? The Lord is saying, you're all about following me and you're all about recognizing my lordship, but why do you say that? Why do you do that when you don't even do what I tell you to do? But a lot of us, we love to talk about God and how we love Him and yada yada and so on. But imagine if God came down right now and said, why do you call, and just wonder, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you say, Lord, we love you and we praise you and we're all about you? And then here I give you some of the simplest things to follow in word and you don't even do it. I said, be ye kind. Why aren't you kind? It's a command. If you love me, you'll be kind. You'll be tender-hearted. You'll be forgiving one another. You won't let evil communication proceed out of your mouth. You won't let ungodly things in your eye gate and in your ear gate. You won't do that. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. God says, if you love me, then why aren't you in the place where I can bless you? If God's not blessing you, it's not because His blesser broke. If God's not blessing you, mark it down, you're not in the place where God can bless you. When mom says dinner is at 6 o'clock and I'm not in my seat at 6 o'clock, is it my mom's fault that I didn't eat or is it my fault that I didn't eat? See, we got it all backwards. Goes in this whole entitlement mentality. Well, you know, just give me what's mine and just give me extra and give me, even though I don't deserve it, just give it to me. No. It doesn't work that way. If you want God to bless you, get in the place where He can bless you. In the Old Testament, when they were going through a famine, God told Elijah, go to the brook Kidron, and I will feed you there, and I will take care of you there. If he would have went to the brook Kereth instead of Kidron, he'd have never gotten fed, and if he'd have complained to God about it, he'd have been a fool because he wasn't where God told him to be. And so you need to look at your own life and say, you know what? I just don't feel like, I just don't see it in my life. I don't see God blessing. I don't see God providing. I feel like I got to do everything on my own to make everything happen. That's your fault, not God's. Good. My marriage is falling apart. My children are disobedient. My finances are falling apart. Everybody's nasty. I fight with everybody all the time. And I can't get to church. And I don't read my Bible. And I don't pray. And I don't tithe. And I don't see why God doesn't bless me. What don't you understand? Your faith is pathetic.
Well.
And the response of that, the action of that, is you're not obedient to God. Lastly, a contiguous promise. In verse 8 there, it says, what you should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Obedience to God was a character. See, this is why Abraham's in Hebrews chapter 11 and others aren't. Because Abraham said, my obedience, it's who I am. It's what makes me me. I'm just going to obey God. God said, I'm not questioning. God said, go, I go. Whatever God says. God later on, you know the story, called Abraham to offer his own son Isaac as an offering to him. What a weird request. But in no place in Scripture do we find Abraham going, whoa, time out. Okay, God, we need to talk. I was all for leaving my homeland for you. I was all for packing up my family and going. But God, now you're asking too much. Can God really ask too much of us? Boy, we ask a whole lot of Him, don't we?
Yeah, that's good.
The Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. What do we see here? We see God proved Abraham's love for him, and he spared Isaac his son. In Genesis 22:11 says, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. That God's not asking you to sacrifice your children physically here today. But interesting. God says, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son. What are you withholding from God? What is it that God's asked you to commit to or to give to Him in obedience? That you've kind of stepped back and, no, God, you know, my paychecks, Lord, my paychecks, my paycheck. I'm not about tithing. Puny faith and puny obedience. Well, God, you know, if I got to come back on Sunday night and Sunday morning and then go home and then go back Sunday night and then Thursday night and then Saturday morning, God, that's a lot of gas. And gas right now is about $18 for half a gallon. Isn't it amazing? We'll make all of our other payments, though. We don't say, you know, Citibank has to be paid, so, you know, but I got to go to church, so Citibank's going to have to wait. We don't live that way. We pay off all of our bills to get everything else, and then if we can squeeze our commitment to God in. Boy, God's a wonderful God. He took care of me. What part of your life does God want to be a part of that you're keeping back? Some of you young adults. Does God have your music? Who went out to your car and turned on your radio right now? What are your preset stations? What kind of CDs you got? How about at your house? God can have all this stuff, but He can't have my music. Puny faith. Don't expect your faith to grow. It's not going to. Because you're not obedient. Don't expect God to bless you because you're not in the place where He can bless you. Oh, you know, Saturday soul winning, I'm so tired and it's been cold out. And again, I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I'm trying to get you to think here. How's your obedience? Thursday night, we preach on it. Wives, how's your submission to your husbands? You in the place where God can bless you? Could you be the reason why God's not blessing your marriage because you're mad at Him because you're not in the place where you're supposed to be? Husbands, are you the spiritual leader of your home? Do you create an atmosphere where they want to follow you because you're following God? Well, if everybody's just kind of in shambles right now spiritually, could that be because of you, sir? Because you're disobedient and your family's not in a place where God can bless you? Probably won't always understand every command, but we're called to obey nonetheless. See, the thing about God's will, God doesn't necessarily need you to understand all the ins and outs of it. God just needs you to trust Him and do what He says. The wisest Christian here today is the Christian that says, you know what? That's what it says. I'm just going to do it. Okay. I don't understand everything about a tithe, maybe. But you know what? I heard a preacher, I hear people talk about it. 10% goes to God. And it's amazing. I don't understand it. But God blesses.
It's good.
God takes care.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't understand. But I just, you know, the preacher keeps saying, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. I don't even understand everything that I'm reading in there. Everything ends in ETH. I don't even know what that means. You know what? I'm just going to do. God tells me to read the Bible. I'm just going to read the Bible. And it's amazing. You'll find your faith growing. Why? Because you're obeying. Oftentimes, I'll tell my kids, me or Sherry will give them a command. You know what? Just do it. You don't have to understand it. Just do it. And a lot of times they'll say, oh, after they do it, oh, now I see why we did that. But yet we're stubborn. We expect our children to do it to us. We wouldn't do it to God. God, I'm not committing to anything, God, until you show me that you're going to bless me. God says, yeah, I'll go find someone else. I'll find someone else who's willing to obey me and get in the place where they're supposed to be. Boy, how we admire the obedience a dog shows to its master. There's another clip going around. Some of you saw it about all these dogs that pray. Anybody see that video clip? It's awesome. It's just a whole clip of just, you know, as soon as the owner says, okay, it's time to pray, the dogs will go up, cross their paws, and put their head down. It's the cutest thing in the world. There's like four or five dogs. It's time to pray, and all the dogs get down. more obedient than some Christians that I know. A man by the name of Archibald Rutledge wrote that one day he met a man whose dog had just been killed in a forest fire. Heartbroken, this dog owner explained to this man how it happened. Because he worked outdoors, he often took his dog with him. And that morning, he left the animal in a clearing, and he gave the dog a clear command to stay and to watch his lunch bucket while he went into the forest. The dog understood. That's exactly what he did. A fire started in the woods, and the blaze spread to the very spot where the dog had been left. The dog never moved. Stayed right where his owner told him to. He stayed right where he was in perfect obedience to the master's word. And with tearful eyes, the dog's owner said, "I always had to be careful what I told him to do because I knew he would do it." But what to God, we followed God that way.
Yeah.
God didn't have to be careful because God's not going to mess up. But I'd love for God to be able to say, you know what? I love telling so-and-so what to do because I know they're going to do it. Just, this is what they do. I say to do it. It's done. I don't have to worry about it. I just know if they read that passage, they're just going to do what the Bible says. Is that even a concern with God in their life? Do you even think that way? Doing what we know is right may not be in keeping with the feelings of the day, but we're called to do what is right nonetheless. You know what? Tomorrow morning, some of you that have the Monday sickness might be hard. You may not feel like praying. You may not feel like reading your Bible. You may not feel like honoring God. Somebody may challenge you spiritually. Refer to this morning's sermon. It's the devil. That's who you fight with. The devil. The Bible says very plainly in James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what?"
Yes.
Sin. Sin. Let me close with an illustration. Hey Gavin, you ready to help me now, buddy? I didn't think you would. Scared of Vincent, you want to help me? Can you do me a favor? Can you go stand in the back? Just right underneath the closet there. Just stand underneath it. Let's see. Let's see how well. I don't think he knows where the clock is. But that's okay. That's good. You're good. Nope, stand. Don't sit. Stand. We're gonna see you have the parenting skills of Raymer and Katie. I want you to take 10 steps forward. Put your hands in the air. Turn around. All the way around. All the way around. Keep coming. All right, now put your hands back down. Take 2 more steps. Go to your right, to the wall. All right, take 2 more steps forward. And come over to the first window over there. Stand right by that window. And sit down. Okay, now stand back up. Okay, now go to that pew right next to you and stand on that pew. Now climb over to the next pew. Good, climb right over. Climb over to the next pew. Climb over to the next pew. Elbow drop you, Alyssa. Climb over to the next pew. Go to the middle. Climb over to the next pew. Go all the way to the inside by the aisle. And go back into the middle aisle. You can come off the pew. And now walk forward. Okay, stop. Put your hands up in the air. Put your left hand down. Almost got you. Pick your right leg up off the floor. Let me put your foot back down. Put your hand back down. Now, those instructions made absolutely no sense at all. They were dumb. Sit down, stand, raise your hands, climb, spin around, go on the pew, go down, sit down, get up. Didn't make any sense. But you know, not one time did he go, not one time did he go, this is dumb. He may have thought it. Had you were all thinking, what is he doing right now? Raymer and Katie are leaving the church after tonight. He didn't not do it. He obeyed.
Amen.
And did exactly what he was told. And because of that, I have $5 for you. You want to know why? Because you were in the place of blessing.
Yeah.
You weren't. You can choose to obey and get blessed, even if you don't understand it. God said it, that settles it. That's the obedience of faith. He trusts me. That's why he did what I said. He didn't know I was going to give him anything. We didn't talk about it. And I'm sure Raymer's going to steal the $5 before I even get it to Vincent.
Well, I thought you were going to make him give it though.
Hey!
Did you get anything else, son?
Yeah.
Another one. Pastor, he's still a babe. Is he still a wee?
I know he is. I know. But there's so many, you guys are adding so many dynamics to it. Even John, got anything else? All of a sudden now more people will start obeying when you decide to live by faith. And they see God blessing your life.
Amen. Amen.
That's good.
That's a real
the obedience of faith. God give us some Christians that will say, Lord, I trust you. I believe your word. I'm going to obey you. You obey. Your faith grows. God blesses. You obey more. Your faith grows more. God blesses you more. What an awesome life. It's so awesome to be a Christian. Thank God I can trust my Savior. Because I don't trust my state for anything. I don't trust politics, politicians. You know, sadly, so sad, we can't even trust preachers anymore today. But we can trust God.
Amen.
So let's stop pointing fingers. Let's take ownership. Vincent, you may be seated. Let's take ownership. And it's just simple obedience. That's all it is. Simple obedience. God give us some Christians today that will say, you know, God, I'm waving the white flag. God is not my way anymore. It's your way. By faith, Abraham, he obeyed without even seeing what God had for him yet. See, we don't know. You decide to start obeying God, you don't know what God has in store for you. But I do know this. If you're obeying God, you're in a place where he can bless you and he wants to bless you. Are you in that place? Let's all stand to our feet with our hands bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask Sister Lori if she can play a song of invitation. You know, some of us just need to tell the Lord tonight, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm going to just obey. It doesn't have to make sense to you. Christians, stop trying to figure it out. God said it, obey. Just do what the Word of God says. Piano begins to play. The altar's open. Would you take time to pray tonight? Thank you.
Church of America.